for me. Any questions? Any I should speak? Yes. Sripad Bhakti Kamal Tyagi Maharaj Ki Jai. Any questions, Maharaj?
I have a question. What is the origin of material desire?
It reminds me once on the Ekadashi evening in Sridhar Mayapur. You're there, and Krishnas Balaji Maharaj was there, and we had some opportunity to get his association. And he was, as was his custom, he stays up the entire evening doing Nam Sankirtan, singing many different songs, just always taking the holy name. On that particular evening, it was our good fortune to, as it approached like midnight, 1 o'clock, one by one, we all fell asleep. He was still chanting. And when we woke up for Mangal Arati, we woke up to him chanting. But earlier on in the evening, there was a larger group of devotees there. Some, they started asking him questions, and he had one answer for every question. Someone would lead up and answer some question, and he would go, Hare Krishna! That would be the answer to most questions. Or take the holy name. Everything was focused on Krishna Nam, and that being the great panacea for anything and everything. And when he said it, it was meaningful. It was simultaneously somehow like a surprise answer, but profound, and it wasn't just a simple chant Hare Krishna and be happy kind of. It was like from the heart, this was really his answer to these questions, what he felt was the best way to proceed. But then at one point, this Bengali devotee named Sarvabhavana Prabhu, he said about material desire, and particularly sex desire. He said, Babaji Maharaj, how can we, overcome this? And Babaji Maharaj, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! But then he said something, he said, you are trying to overcome, I am trying to overcome. He didn't exempt himself from that. And then there was one young boy who was very much enamored and sort of riveted in infatuation with the visage of Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, which we can understand. And he wanted to give him a gift. And, it was like some very nice chadar, say, a Lal Imli chadar. They're known in India as like the chadars for higher class people. And so he wanted to present that to Babaji Maharaj, and Babaji Maharaj was declining. He had the Babaji vase, his soul, garments. And he's declining, but the boy like kind of insisting. And then he could understand also that it was going to become an emotional experience. Hare Krishna. And the boy, maybe a little teary, he's kind of like, oh, my gift is being denied. And so finally Babaji Maharaj said, I accept. And he took the chadar, touched his head and accepted it. And he said, I'm accepting. He said, but, and then he said, I'm going to keep it with you. And he said, and then whenever I come here, you'll have that and you'll keep it for me whenever I visit. And then, so everybody was happy. And I would say that on the basis of the Bayam Dutiya Vinibeshita Shat Sloka, Ishat Apetasya, what is it? Vipardeyo Smriti. That when we forget that we belong to Krishna, and Krishna's, like Krishna and Karshni, when we forget that we belong to Krishna and those who are Krishna's, we, in that deluded condition, we think that we will find fulfillment in the persons, places, things of the misconceived world. At the base of this whole world is misconceived. It's not that we misconceive it. It's misconceived at the root of it all. What is the Gita Sloka? Urdvam, Shakam, that about the banyan tree, the upside down tree, the tree of illusion, if you want to say. Srila Guru Maharaj will sometimes call this satanic mania. Right? The satanic mania. How is it expressed? And Milton's Paradise Lost, that with this proposition to reign in hell, to serve in heaven or to reign in hell. He said, so we've been seduced by this satanic mania that we can find fulfillment, realize our potential through acquiring, controlling, and consuming the mundane. All the way up to the, when we hear from Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, when a jiva is on the verge of jivan mukta, about to escape the mundane worlds, and the eighth layer, and where Varahadev lives with Bhu Shakti or Bhu Devi, and said, unless Maya Devi appears before that jiva and offers herself to him, saying, oh, you're leaving? Why? And you think, well, because of so much slavery, bondage, and her offering is that, yes, but that was with, I'm in the controller position and you're being controlled. But now what I offer to you is, I'll be your servitor. You'll be Shiva and I'll be your Shakti. A new arrangement. And Guru Maharaj referred to that as, what did he say? The last sweet bullet to enter the brain. That, again, once again, the prospect to be Lord. Or as he said elsewhere, that all the Shiva, Ajivas, are Shiva wannabes. Because who is Shiva? He's the master of Maya. They're ignoring that he is the servant of Narayan. That aspect. It's just what they find appealing is the master of Maya. The master of illusion. Mayinam, what is it? Tu vidhi prakriti vidyan, mayinam tu maheshwaram. Maheshwara, the master of Maya. Illusion. So, and Guru Maharaj also describes that interestingly, that the first conception of other than Krishna, that can be in a good way and a bad way. So he says Baladev is also the first other than Krishna. I see. See, envy. The black dog envious of the white dog. There is your answer. What is it? This is my area, my slice of the Devi Jagat, and I'm the Shiva, I'm the Lord here. I have urinated in this area. It's the same thing on another level, right? This ahamkar. So, oh, what I'm saying, that Shiva, the jivas as Shiva wannabes, the one to take that position. Sometimes Shiva is described as the sum total of all jivas, as when Shambhu impregnates all the jivas into the womb of Prakriti. Oh, but the sense of other. So he said, Baladev is Krishna, the first other than Krishna. So that's why sometimes he's opposed to Krishna. They differ on things. But this is all sweetness. Right? When Advaita Acharya and Balaram are showing their, the Beda, of the Achintya Beda Beda, the Beda. So they're showing, we're different. But it's a very beautiful thing. And they can argue sweetly and insult each other but it's all delight, it's liberatingly delightful dialogue that comes from them. If we can follow that, then we'll be liberated. If we can understand that it's affection between, Mahavishnu and Nityananda Prabhu, then we'll be liberated. If we take it in some other way, if we start differentiating in the wrong way, we'll go to hell. It's always the same thing. Like Guru Maharaj, we were telling the other day, what he said here to the devotee inquired, what is my seva now that I've come to Navadvipa? And he said, to acquire the proper angle of vision. What is it all about? Acquiring the proper angle of vision. Who does that come from? Right? As your book, Amnaya Tattva, the revealed truth. How does revealed truth manifest itself? Form of Shastra, Sadhu Shastra, Guru Vaishnava. So we have the first sense of other in Baladev, but another other in Shiva. And what does this allow for? Sometimes to be part of the opposition. When Narada is praising him in Bhagavatamritam, and Shiva's deferring, saying, sometimes, and out of allegiance to the boon I've given to a disciple, I'm brought in conflict with the Lord. And then, Kalo Brahmana Rupina. What is the other part? Mayavada Asachtashtam Pachtanam Bodham Uchite. I preach Mayavad. Sometimes I fight with Krishna. How can you praise me? And then he says something even more damning. He said, and in fact, he said, I asked Krishna to become greater than him. I asked for a position greater than him. Like, this is the kind of man I am, and you're praising. But then, Sanatana Goswami and his Tika, which is the only way we can really understand what is there. Fortunately, he wrote a commentary on his own work. He says that, yes, it's true that he asked for a position greater than Krishna, but what is that position? Right? Madbhakta puja abhyadika. The position that's greater than Krishna is the devotee of Krishna. So Shiva made it sound as if he'd asked for something unholy and unwholesome. He said, I asked him for a position greater. But what he asked him to be was to be a devotee, a servant. And that's greater than Krishna. So, it's where do we perceive that we will realize our prospect? We could say, yeah, it's about being greater than Krishna. How will you really become greater than Krishna? By reigning in hell or serving in heaven? Or as Guru Maharaj said, being, king of a hill of stuff, or being a worm in a bucket of nectar, which position sounds more desirable? The king of the hill of that, or the worm in the bucket of nectar? Right? And Srila Guru Maharaj saying, very brilliantly and in an extraordinary way, saying that what we learn from Einstein Einstein Stavis for his relativity theory and other things. He said what we learn from him, extract from there, is that reality is a thing plus its potential. So it's not just what it is, what it appears to be, but when it's imbued with its potential or full potential, that's when it's in its real position. So when Mahaprabhu says to Sanatan Goswami, Jivera Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas, Jivera Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas, or Nityara Krishna Das. That means that Jiva is only in his actual position. The reality of the Jiva's position is in servitude to Krishna. And absent servitude or the serving function, then by implication, an inverse implication, he's not real or he's not in his actual position. He's deluded. And Atmendriya Preeti, bunch of Ichadari Premana, Bolekam, Krishnendriya Preeti, Ichadari Premanam. So when he's thinking that he'll realize his potential, the reality of his potential, through Atmendriya, self-directed sense, any type of self-directed senses, sensuality, sense perception, all of it, he's under the influence of material desire. And the same things in service to Krishna is prema. We're told it's the same thing. It's not two different things. It's the same thing when redirected. That's why in the Bhagavatam also, 7th canto and elsewhere, we hear in the discussion, the question arises that if the Braja Gopis saw Krishna just as a boy, they're Gyanashunya Bhaktas, they're not influenced by Aishwarya Gyan of his divinity, but as young teenage girls attracted to this boy and totally offering themselves to him. Was it Yudhisthira Maharaj? I think so. In the 7th canto, this question arises. Because it mentions some hated Krishna, they got liberation. These gopis, he's their object of their, you say, you know, erotic aspirations. Why is this liberating them? The only thing we can say is because it's exclusively directed toward Krishna. Mahaprabhu will later say, actually, although it appears to be lust, their whole interest is in satisfying the senses of Krishna, really and truly. In the section where it's mentioned that they decorate themselves in him, the reason they keep themselves looking nice and beautiful is all for the satisfaction of Krishna. So it's hard for us to conceive, but that can also be seva. Guru Maharaj tells when Baladev is engaged in rasa with gopis, that Sanatana Goswami says in his commentary, from within his heart, this is his offering to Krishna. When he goes on behalf of Krishna to visit them in Vrindavan, he has the ability to make Krishna appear naturally. But the initial cause is that sense of otherness, but otherness in an untoward, unwholesome, unholy, unhealthy way. And curiosity. Guru Maharaj compared it to addiction, drug addiction. That what initially starts out as curiosity, so I think the curiosity that by doing this or getting involved in this, I'll get some sort of fulfillment. So, but then exploring that curiosity, then when one reaches a stage of addiction, then we're back to, what is the Gita Sloka? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani savasyaha ahankar vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. What you think you're doing, at the point of addiction, it's no longer in your control. You're just being subjected to the outcome, the karmic outcome of particular choices. That's why Guru Maharaj deals with this subject of overcoming the prejudice of acquired experience. Because at that point, layer after layer, one meaning of sanskar, you know, means mental impressions that have been compounded, composited, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, to the point where one's so-called, you know, self-identity is so far removed from what it is that one is totally deluded. And in the modern world, people are being encouraged to, and with all sorts of media, to express that self. Right? This composited self, a composite of layers and layers of ahankar and illusion acquired after numerous lifetimes. We're told that freedom is to express that, right, to others, to get the full range of expression, for self-expression. But we're so far removed from the reality of self-identity, self-expression, as in Krishna Das, that we think of that as something undesirable and degrading. So we've come so far as to conceive of being the servitor of Krishna as a degraded position. Right? The arrogance of humanists saying, you know, I'm the Lord of all I survey, I'm nobody's slave. Right? Whereas I could show you over 100 references in the talks of Srila Guru Maharaj where he's endorsing slavery, but slavery to the supreme entity, and they're not factoring in that yayatamam prapadyante. If you become Krishna's slave, he becomes the slave of his devotee. If the finite offers himself in this so-called divine slavery to Krishna, the outcome, Hare Krishna, the outcome is Krishna coming under the control of the finite, like being the slave of his devotee. Aham bhakta paradino hyasvan tantra eva dvija sadhu bir bhakta hridayo bhaktar bhakta janapriya. Although it's announced in the beginning of the Bhagavatam that he's sharat, he's totally independent. His existence is not contingent upon any other person. He says, aham bhakta paradino Hyasvan tantra eva dvija. In the presence of devotion, it's as if I lose my independent position. So, hearing or examining the preaching of Saraswati Thakur and the Gaudiya Math, Guru Maharaj mentioned that some British people, they reframed it and they said, well, if you hear what they're really saying, they're promoting slavery. When all the ornamental language is removed, what this is all about is becoming a slave. Like if we look at the dictionary definition, you know, dasi means slave girl. Right? Servant has a ring, or like sounds like executive secretary or something. But dasi doesn't mean executive secretary. It means slave girl. Das, slave boy. You know. So when they brought up this complaint, the Gaudiya Math, they're preaching slavery, divine or otherwise. And that's the degradation of the human being. When you transfer your freedom, your autonomy to another, that's the degradation of a human being. And his response, as we've heard, was, no, Gaudiya Math stands for the dignity of the human race. And Guru Maharaj is being noted for his use of analogy. He said, he mentioned how Gandhi, around that time, sent the word out that he needed a servitor, an assistant, whatever term we want to use. And Guru Maharaj mentioned that the people who were applying for the post were the highest men in India. You know, millionaires, highly qualified people. Not people from the lower classes, but the highest class men with the greatest amount of resources, prestige, etc. They wanted to take this position. Why? Because they thought he's Mahatma. Mahatma, Mahatma, Mahatma Gandhi. If I can have even, you know, the slightest connection with him, that my position will improve. Right? That'll be the best thing. I'll be upgraded inestimably by his association. So Guru Maharaj's point is, they could conceive of that as being such a dignified position. And if someone said, what is your position? You know, I'm Mahatma Gandhi's servant. Oh! You'd be worshipable. So being the servitor of Mahatma Gandhi is such a dignified, exalted position, but being the servitor of the Supreme Reality is something denigrating. We've gone that far away from and misconceiving our identity and its potential. So Rupa Goswami, when he's, remember, his book is the book on devotion. So he's telling in the early stages, in the introduction, what are the qualities, the characteristics of this divine substance known as Krishna Bhakti. Kleshagni, Subhada, Moksha, Lugutakrit, Sandra, Ananda, Visheshatma. And ultimately, Sri Krishna Karshinichasa. That supreme, independent, infinite reality, divine person, comes under the control. He's attractive to devotion. The supreme, all-attractive Krishna, the central conception of the infinite. What is he like? We spend most of our time thinking about our own perceived self-interest and how he can fulfill that. I say, well, Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, that's his job. But here we're being given insight from Rupa Goswami as to what attracts Krishna. Even a drop of that divine substance. So, discussing the other day, the deities of Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath, Sambandhagyan, Abhideya, Prayojan. And just as a footnote or sidebar, Guru Maharaj says, as a key, we'll always find the central conception, the highest conception of Krishna, in the middle position. Consistently in the middle. The central conception of the infinite, Govinda Dev, there's, I say that for your, to make a note of. But, so, we think, is it arbitrary? Oh, Sanatan Goswami's deity is called Madan Mohan. It's a wonderful, it just happened that way. Rupa Goswami's deity, Govindaji, it's, and Gopinath, or, is there some rhyme and reason? Is it systematic why Madan Mohan is the Sambandha Tattva deity, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath? If we realize that everything, nothing is inexplicable, nothing is accidental, what to speak of these kind of things? This is a representation of the Supreme Reality. It has to be systematic in its presentation. So, and I like this, because it's back to your original question. Freud says the whole basis of this is sex desire. That's what's making the world go round. The planets move, the earth, and we can agree with that, actually. The reason he's lauded for is because somehow he stumbled on to some very profound, earth-moving, planet-moving, universe-spinning truth. Right? Of course, he took it in another direction, But still, there's some merit there. So if we use the Sanskrit terminology, we'll say, we can reframe what he's saying, is that everyone in the world is under the influence of Madan, like Cupid, Madan. Everyone's bewildered by this. And back to this search for identity and authenticity and self-realization, self-discovery. So everyone and self, and what is our ultimate potential? Reality is a thing plus its potential. All of these things. But in this world, everyone is bewildered. Moha, Madan, Cupid, puts everyone into moha, illusion. The other example that comes to mind is the insane asylum. When I was speaking about this with some Russian devotees, I was saying, like, what's the Russian word? Because in America now there's so many politically correct ways of expressing this. And they all go, crazy house! And that's the Russian word. Because they're not under the influence of politically correctness at this stage. They just call something like a place where people are mad. And what is the basis of their madness? Deluded conceptions of self, of who they are, what is their potential, the same thing, but in such a pronounced condition of expression that everyone can just easily see, you're mad. Pisachi Pile Jena Mati Chanahoi Maya Grishta Jiver Hoi Seva Budoi. Jagadananda Pandit deals with it also in the Prema Vivart. Maya Grishta. When you're under the clutches of Maya, in Prabhupada's words, he used to say, you know, you'll talk all kinds of nonsense. That's what you'll say, anything. Give, as H.L. Mencken said, when someone, Hare Krishna, Jai Sri Gurudev, he said, when someone stops believing in God, he said, it's not that they believe in nothing. He said, they believe anything. You understand? It's not that they believe in nothing. They end up believing in anything as an alternative. So anyway, not to digress. So, Madan puts everyone in the condition of moha. Freud says it. We also say it. It's also in our books. So, who's the first? If you're going to get a proper perspective on things, then necessarily the first deity must be Madan Mohan. Because that means who has the capacity to break the spell of illusion. And this particular illusion in its most crude expression. As Guru Maharaj would say, this type of thing is the most concentrated expression of ignorance. Delusion. So, Madan Mohan, then necessarily the deity to break that must be the one who will put Cupid, Madan, in the moha position. To take the jiva out of that spell, then Krishna will appear in such a way, Madan Mohan Vigraha. And Guru Maharaj says that also indicates in a seed form what the reality potential is of the jiva if he keeps moving in the direction of Krishna conception, and the more refined and ultimate expression of Krishna conception and of relationship potential with Krishna, we get a hint of that. It's alluded to and indicated in Madan Mohan Vigraha. You understand? Yes, exactly. And that's, so it's there from the beginning, but not being fully expressed, the illusion's being broken from this beautiful, innate tendency and ultimate reality potential of jiva souls that's been pathetically misdirected in the most pitiful way. And Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, There was one line, I forget the sloka, but one line in this purport where he said the, how did he say it? The natural propensity of the jiva soul for expressing love for Krishna has been pervertedly manifested as a lust for matter. Put it very nicely, very succinctly. And perhaps it's from Baladev. The natural propensity, which is for Krishna praying, to express love and affection toward Krishna, has been pervertedly manifested as a lust for matter. So it's again back there. It's a particular tendency that's being misdirected, perverted. Those type of words are being used. A perverted expression of an innate tendency, which is indicative of an innate capacity and a particular reality potential. So Guru Maharaj would say, therefore, Vyas, Narada, is chastising Vyas severely, right? Saying, Jukupsitam Dharma Krite Anushasana, that what you've done is condemnable and a betrayal, right? So Vedavyas, the compiler of all these scriptures, he's the Shaktivesh avatar, Bhagavan Badarayana, and Narada is using that Jugupsitam word, condemning him for what he's done. And what has he done? He's given religion to the world. You could say. But a particular type of religion. That's why it's condemnable. As we hear in the beginning, when he, Guru Maharaj says, composed three slokas and then sent it to the market, the Bhagavatam, like put in an introduction three slokas and then published. That his intro are the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan Tattva slokas. Janmadyasya Yataha, right there. In the any great work, you find the great authors, even in the secular world, they give everything away in the first sentence. If you look in the first sentence of any great work of literature, really, thematically, the whole work is expressed there in a line or two. So when Vyasa said, Janmadyasya, and the beauty of going from Triya Veda, flower, Vedanta, fruit, Bhagavatam, so go from Janmadyasya, Yataha, from the Vedanta Sutra, now expressed here with the full implication of the fruit in the Bhagavatam. Because we say, well, that was already in the Vedanta Sutra. Is he just borrowing there? Oh, that'll be a good start. Right? No, I mean, it's the ultimate start. Janmadyasya yataha. But here, it's going to reach, it's going to fructify with its fullest expression of what appeared in the fragrance of the flower of the Vedanta. So in the first three words, or whatever it is, Janma, Adi, he's told everything. And that's why Chakravarti Thakur says, here Adi means Adi Rasa. And the Adi Rasa is not only Madhura Rasa, but Parakya. So the ultimate reality and your relationship potential with the ultimate reality is realized in Parakya Rasa. He told you in the first expression of the work. And then it's all going to be fully expressed and clearly expressed as the work progresses. But and he's apologizing, in a sense, for his earlier work with the Dharma Projita Kaitavota. This won't be like that. There's no Kaitava Dharma in this book. Actually, there wasn't any in what I did before, but I understand some people misread it. Like Hermann Hesse, when he had this one book very popular in the 60s called Steppenwolf. And then it, people understood it in a particular way, that it was endorsing certain types of things that were maybe undesirable in terms of behavioral things like drugs. So he wrote a letter, an introduction to it. He said, normally an author shouldn't do this, like tell people how to read the book or what to get from it. He said, but everything I've written, I've never written a book that was more misunderstood and misinterpreted than this book. So everyone thinks it's some bleak, because it's such a condemnation on the mundane, that it ultimately has some kind of a nihilistic hopelessness. He said, it's a book about hope. Yes, it's recognizing the futility of mundane existence, mundane pursuit, but it's ultimately something about hope. So he apologized for saying, please, you know, I shouldn't really be telling you how to interpret this, but there's so much misinterpretation that I felt I had to give it an intro. So we could say, in a similar way, it's not that really what Veda Vyas gave was mundane, but Narada saying, people are misinterpreting what you've written up to this point. You've given Krishna conception, even in certain Puranas, Srimati Radharani is mentioned there, so many things. And in certain places, you've really indicated the ultimate reality potential, but people are misusing what you've written to remain riveted to the mundane. And if anyone tries to pry them away or lead them to another conception, Guru Maharaj said, they will say, are you a greater authority than Veda Vyas? All right, you're saying something, but Veda Vyas says this, and they know the sloka, the quote, the book, and, you know, verse, etc. Said, therefore, you'll have to be the one. It can only be you. You'll have to give them full-fledged theism and Krishna conception and explain mukti arhit vanyata rupam swaropena vibhastiti, that after you get freed from the mundane, you have the prospect of a life of love with Krishna and the full implications of what that could mean. You're going to have to present that. Otherwise, what you've given up to this point, minus that aspect of full expression of loving potential, people will either directly or indirectly conclude the only plane for expression is in this world, and particularly the male-female relationship, and that's the most binding, soul-killing, binding thing that keeps people living in material existence, besides the Atmaha of Mayavad and things like that. So, Dharma Projita Kaita Botra, right? No, not religion, theistic culture with some ulterior motive, right? Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealing in his own autobiography when he lived in Ula and they worship Chandi, that the Brahmins, you know, they're vegetarian. But they know at certain times of the month there's Chandi offerings. Goats are being sacrificed to the goddess. So they strategically position themselves to be recipients of prasad. I am vegetarian, but we're taking the prasad. That's, you know, blatant ulterior motive. But so many other types of ulterior motives are there. Not to just always lampoon our friends in West Bengal, in the state of West Bengal. We can lampoon others. We can lampoon ourselves. Right? But that idea, in other words, why for some ulterior purpose one is ostentatiously engaged in theistic culture. That's the point. But the response is incredible, because the word used there of condemnation of Narada is jugupsitam. Then after the Bhagavatam follows its sequence, and the ultimate expression of Krishna's Leela and Krishna's pastimes with Radharani and Brajagopis and Vrindavan and Parikit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, they're having the same, and looks, Parikit Maharaj sees some of the faces of the assembled sages who've gathered from all over the universe and sees the shock, the look of shock, apprehension. And so he says, you told in the beginning that, use this word, jukupsitam, how much Nara condemned Vyas for not delivering perfectly and fully the proper conception of divinity. And religion was at fault there. Now, and he uses the word again, jukupsitam, you're telling us that the ultimate expression of the higher reality is doing things which appear to be condemnable. So we started with religion is condemnable. We should get away from this Kaitava Dharma. And now we're hearing the ultimate expression is of the Supreme Absolute Truth engaged in what appears to be immoral activities. Would you care to explain that or comment? And those slokas are there. Naitat samachare jatu manasyapi yaniswara. About Shiva and the Visha. Shiva, he becomes Nilkanth. But this substance, if you're not feeling viraha bhav, the heart isn't really feeling truly separation from Krishna, then this substance will have a poisonous effect. What else is there? What is it? Ishwaranam? Something? Bacham, satyam, bacham. What they say, follow their advice, do not imitate their behavior, this kind of thing. But Guru Maharaj, he said that for some sages, they're thinking, all right, you know, Krishnara jateka kela sarvatam naralila narabhapu tahara swarup gopavesh venukar navakishor natabar naralila hoi anurup. These human-like pastimes, they're very mysterious. It's a prakriti lila. It appears to be mundane, but it's not. So he said that was the infinite expressing in itself this way was beyond what they had conceived previously. They could perhaps digest that much, that human-like pastimes, that he's human-like. He said, but that he's an immoral man was too much for some. That he's like a man, like they'll think, you know, Ram Leela, he's like a king, the Rajniti, the excellent behavior. But here, the highest expression of the Supreme Absolute Truth is when it appears to be condemnable, immoral, objectionable activity. That was difficult for them to digest. The central conception. And what is at the basis of that? Ichadvesha samutvena dvandva mohena bharata. Some innate envy. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta prabhureva cha. Everything is meant for his pleasure. Even that's easy to everything. All right, Krishna is the supreme. Everything's meant for him. But Guru Maharaj will add, and I am meant for him, including ourselves. We have to come to the point of understanding. And we are also meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And back to this notion of the Brajagopis. Everything they do is for his pleasure. Their decoration, their how they keep themselves, how they present themselves. They're offering themselves to him in his service. Yeah.
Vyasadeva, everything there was showing Krishna, but then you hear the
philosophy of Jasa. Yeah. Well, Guru Maharaj compared it in this way. On a tree, like, say, the mango tree without the mangoes on it, it's not apparent that everything on that tree is meant ultimately to produce this. I mean, a mango tree without a mango is not, again, back to reality, is a thing plus its potential. So when it's producing that fruit, then it's apparent why there was a trunk, branches, twigs, etc. And so certain parts of the Vedas, he gave another comparison to the body. So on your right, there's nails, hair, things that are what we're told, half alive, half dead. So there's some level of gradation, but it's all meant to produce, to take you toward a particular conclusion. So the Tamasic Puranas, they have a function. If we see ultimately we're there to take you, then we can understand that even though provisionally you're being given some other type of recommendation, it's a provisional recommendation that leads you to become regulated there, to the position of regulating your life in terms of statements of the scriptures. Right now, you're only regulating your life in terms of their least expression, but that's, you've learned to regulate your life on the basis of scriptural suggestion, or what's the word? Prescription. Advice. So now you're regulated to doing that, and you'll make some progress till you'll realize, those prescriptions before, I don't think they're applicable now. Or you'll come in connection with an agent and say, actually, you should be following this other scriptural advice. That'll, from you in your present position, you know, paroksha vada vedo yam balanam anushasanam. Now you're ready to withdraw from that and enter into this position. So that means even those lower aspects, and from this point of view, it's seen as a merciful extension. However low you've sunk, Krishna has, you know, a deal for you. Some way that you can connect. Like mom, he parted the apasritya, yepishu papayoneo, sriyo vaisha tatashudras, tepianti paramgatim. Somehow you come in connection with this. You'll improve. So, shastra vidhi. The word vidhi sometimes means regulator. To be regulated.
Atheists do anything.
Not believe in nothing, but believe anything.
Remember how Guru Maharaj would say, if they're doing anything and everything in the name of anything in the world.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying, they will object to some Puranic description about the creation of the universe, or, you know, a Puranic, cosmological expression of how it is. And then, but they will, with a straight, and they'll mock that. But with a straight face and utmost serious, they'll quote two string theorists from Harvard who say that the whole thing is like a giant Oreo cookie with one side here and there and a cream, and that they'll sit there like, that's brilliant and amazing and we have to, That's not mockable. That's a very tenable, reasonable way to approach this. But some Puranic description that includes graphic imagery is, laughable. But every now and then you meet someone with Sukriti. When I was on a flight from Beijing to New York, a man sitting next to me was a highly educated, place, Chinese professor who was teaching at a big university in America, teaching like graduate computer science. And so I asked him, as we got to know each other, I said, can you say with absolute certainty that the original source of all fragrance has no olfactory capacity, cannot smell? And he said, the way you're putting it, he said, I can't say that with absolute certainty. I said, thank you. And I said, I think you can understand where I'm going with this. So it means, so you can acknowledge that that potential is there, but and the original source of all fragrance cannot smell. The original source of all flavor has no tasting capacity. The original source of all sound has no hearing capacity or ability to express, to make sound. And, you know, the original source of all conscious substance is unconscious. So, because I think he had some innate piety, as much as he was a scientist, a hardcore computer scientist, he had to allow for that possibility. And what we will say is, if you can acknowledge that possibility, that's like a minuscule seed of faith. Then you have hope. There's some potential. Shraddha shabde vishwasako he sudridin nishchoy. You say, well, it's possible. If you'll leave that much room for the possibility, then you can engage in theistic culture. Somehow, yeah.
I just read that even Richard Dawkins said, I cannot say with an absolute
He certainty. Said, out of seven, I'd say 6.9. So that, again, that one point there, that point one out of the, on the point nine, you know, of the 6.9 out of seven, that's why those who are engaged in theistic culture celebrated that. Because that's all you need, is that much. The great atheist Bertrand Russell realized that atheism was, from a purely rational point of view, as indefensible as the theistic proposal. So he positioned himself as an agnostic and would say, all right, you make the case for belief in God, and it sounds reasonable, tenable, and but I can't say for sure. I doubt. Someone else says God doesn't exist. They make a strong case for that, but I can't say with absolute certainty. But that was a bit of a calculated, he realized this will be the best position to be in, is one of doubt. But he didn't meet Srila Guru Maharaj. Right? If Guru Maharaj had met him, he would say to him, you know, Professor Russell, who's doubting the existence of God or that God doesn't, that doubter, does he exist? And that's the beginning of theistic culture. What is that substance that has the capacity to doubt or believe? That is adaptable towards doubt or disbelief? That's Atma. As charged about Pasuti Kaschidainam, this incredibly inconceivable substance that has this type of potential. That's the beginning. So we're hopeful that they may meet Srila Guru Maharaj in the future. Like Guru Maharaj gave so much Sukriti to Hegel. So he will get some kind of improved position in the future. Sukadev Parinishnitopi Nayargunye Uttama Shloka Lilaya Grihita Cheta Rajase Akyanam Yadaditaban. Then the position of a Brahma Vadi. But then from there, hearing about these pastimes of Krishna as presented by Sukadev, the Purgat Maharshi, well, in his case, Vyas, his consciousness was carried away to another domain where he realized another reality potential, loving relationship potential.
Hare Krishna.